Okay, I did have an end of it.
How is everybody? How did you all like the wonderful 25th anniversary of Durban Rath Yatra Festival? This morning I was in Pietermaritzburg, and there also I spoke about this festival. And there I told them that this is one of the grandest Rath Yatra festival that I have seen in ISKCON. Calcutta Rath Yatra used to be the biggest before and the best. Like we used to get, not used to, we generally get a few million to participate. And we have 8 day long amazing festivity. But that's Calcutta. But outside India, this kind of festival is, at least to me, was inconceivable. And after the Rath Yatra festival, I wrote to Indradumna Maharaj that only he could do it. Maharaj has been specially empowered by Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to organize festivals like this. He has been doing it for last 25 years almost in Poland, and mainly in Poland and also in Russia. This year he organized the festival in Gujarat, in India, and it was, the success was amazing. But this one was something completely beyond anyone's imagination. Like, the city authority is coming forward, offering us the best location, and funding our festival. It never happened before. Government funding our Rath Yatra. At least I can't think of. Only in San Francisco, the Rath Yatra was recognized by the local authorities as the holiday. It was announced as a holiday of Rath Yatra in San Francisco. But coming forward and funding our Rath Yatra is amazing. The state premier, the Zulu king, all the important people coming and participating and being so appreciative. I heard that the mayor has been so appreciative that he already told us that we have the location now granted. And I also heard, should I say all these things, Sarut? So I am letting out all the secrets, actually. This year they gave, the city authorities gave 900,000 rands. And for next year the city authorities pledged 5 million rands. What a amazing achievement, and Srila Prabhupada would be so pleased. And not only that, like, I mean, people were so appreciative. Like, I heard that the manager and the conductor of the symphony mentioned that in 30 years of their existence, they never played to such an audience. It's a local symphony going on for the last 30 years, and they never experienced anything like this. They never played to an audience of 5,000, and such an important and such an appreciative audience. And the conductor of the symphony mentioned that if he had to give a rating, then he would give 9.5 out of 10. So anyway, and next year also they want to come and perform, but this time they played once, but next time they want to play twice during the Ratha. And Govinda Maharaj has to now gear up also. So, Maharaj, why are you sitting here? Please stop. I didn't realize that you are still here. And get an asana for Maharaj and let him. We have another way.
I'm perfectly happy this way.
But we are not. So, and I must also admit that Govinda Maharaj is specially empowered to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Only he could play with this 70-hand symphony. And next year the number will also increase. Because next year they want to have Indian classical instruments as well. And it's not that we will add to that. It will be the symphony that will organize to have sitar and sharod and other Indian instruments in the orchestra, in the symphony. So in from all different angle, this had been such an amazing achievement, and I feel so happy to have come here and been a part of this festival and witnessed this festival. How did you all feel? Yeah. Hare Krishna, thank you all very much. And Govinda Maharaj, thank you so much. And oh, Madhava Prabhu, how did you like Madhava Prabhu's kirtan? You came here before also, right? Or is this the first? You came here before, right? Madhava Prabhu also is such a wonderful singer, and he is actually taking ISKCON Kirtan to another dimension. Wherever he goes and he performs, he sings, devotees get completely enchanted by his singing and ecstatically join him. Thank you so much, Madhav. Hare Krishna. You'll be coming next year also. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jnana-timirandhasya Jnananjana-shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Bande Shri Guru Shri Juta Padukamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavascha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganam Raghunathanitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabdhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Nitanischa He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Bancha Kalpa Tarubhascha Kripa Sindhu Bhaye Vacha Patitana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vashadi Gaurabhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, today I wanted to share one very wonderful verse from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This chapter includes Uddhava Gita. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke to Arjuna, and just before departing from this planet, Krishna spoke to Uddhava, giving him some very, very wonderful instructions. And that is known as Uddhava Gita. As a matter of fact, Bhagavad Gita is the beginning of the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, the preliminary essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. And in a way, Uddhav Gita can be considered as the advanced conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam. It has been pointed out that the spiritual perfection can be achieved only through three processes: Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Bhakti. Bhagavad Gita predominantly deals with Karma Yoga. Although we know that out of 16 chapters, first 6 chapters of Bhagavad Gita deals with Karma Yoga, last 6 chapters deal with Jnana Yoga, and in the middle there is Bhakti. From 7 to 12, that is dealing with Bhakti. And as you know, the 9th chapter is known as the king of knowledge, Raja Vidya, Raja Vijaya Yoga. And 10th chapter, Krishna is revealing his spiritual opulence, Vibhuti Yoga. Then 11th chapter, Krishna reveals his identity as the Supreme Personality of God. He shows Arjuna his Vishwarupa. And 12th chapter actually concludes all the 6 chapters regarding the bhakti. The 12th chapter is also very, very beautiful and very important. But still, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita dealt with these topics of devotion. Although he, time and time again, he pointed out that devotional service to him, to his lotus feet, is the ultimate goal of life. But he did not establish that point that emphatically. But in Uddhav Gita, he has actually. He just pointed out that although karma yoga and jnana yoga are important, but the ultimate culmination of these two processes is bhakti. He makes one point that all the other processes for spiritual advancement, they eventually, one has to give that up, because those processes are not permanent. Like karma yoga and jnana yoga, both are, or austerity, penance, and whatever things that one does, they are not the ultimate culmination. One changes. Like when one performs karma yoga, he at some point he gives up karma yoga and he takes to jnana. And then, when he achieves the perfection of jnana, then he gives up jnana and comes to bhakti. So he is pointing out that karma and jnana, these processes are temporary. Because at some point they give it up, or give them up. But that is not the case with bhakti. Bhakti is the eternal occupation of a living entity. So this is how Krishna is pointing out that how bhakti is the ultimate goal of life. So in this way, very beautifully Krishna has explained that devotional service to his lotus feet is the ultimate goal of life. And I have selected one verse from that chapter. This is from the 11th canto, 20th chapter, text 12. I'll just read the verse, and Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 20, which actually is pointing out that the supremacy of devotional service, that is the theme of this chapter. And 12th verse is saying, Swargino pi etam icchanti, lokam nirainas tatha, sadhakam jnana bhakti bhyam, ubhayam tad asadhakam. The residents of both heaven and hell desire human birth in the earth planet because human life facilitates the achievement of transcendental knowledge and love of Godhead. Whereas neither heavenly nor hellish bodies efficiently provide such opportunities. So we can read this translation together. You can repeat after me. The residents of both heaven and hell,
desire human birth in the earth planet.
Because human life facilitates the achievement of transcendental knowledge. And love of Godhead. Whereas neither heavenly or hellish bodies efficiently provide such opportunity. So you got the point? You see the importance of human form of life? Like the residents of heavenly planets and hellish planets. Hellish planets we can understand. They are suffering. From lower condition of existence, one wants to be elevated to the higher platform, higher, better state of existence. But in the heavenly planet, there is so much enjoyment. Like in the Vedic scriptures, there are so many instances when individuals perform so many thousands of years of austerity to be elevated to the heavenly planets. But here we are finding out that the residents of heavenly planets also desire to get a human body in this earth planet. Why? Because when one gets this human form of life, one can achieve Krishna consciousness. One can develop his loving relationship with Krishna. Therefore, this life is so special. Although heavenly planet may have better sense enjoyment, better facilities, or inconceivable opportunities for sense enjoyment, but what they cannot get there is the ability to expand their consciousness to such an extent that they can understand Krishna and develop their loving relationship with Him. That opportunity is available only to the human beings. So that's why the human form of life is considered to be so special. Labdha Shudur Labhamidam Bohushambhavanti. Srimad Bhagavatam is also in another place. It is pointing out that now that you have got the human form of life after many, many possibilities, and this human form of life is not only rare, but this human form of life is very, very uncertain because death can come at any moment and this opportunity may be lost at any moment. We cannot really predict. We cannot confidently say that we are going to live for so many years. Can we ever forecast when we are going to die or when death may come? Although everybody wants to live forever and everybody, as Yudhishthira Maharaj told Jamraj when he was asked, what's the most amazing thing? And you know what was Yudhishthira Maharaj's answer to that? That although everyone is seeing that so many people have died and so many people will die, he thinks that he'll never die. That is the natural tendency of a living entity. He doesn't want to die. Or he doesn't think, he never thinks that he is going to die. And it's understandable why he thinks that way, because he is immortal. A living entity, the spirit soul, is immortal. So he knows that he is immortal. But unfortunately, when he identifies himself with his body, then the body becomes subjected to death. And because he identifies himself with the body, he thinks, now I am dying. But as a human being, he gets an opportunity to transcend the bodily platform. So why human form of life is so special? Because in the human form of life, we get an opportunity to cultivate our loving relationship with Krishna. And when we achieve perfection in that practice, then we can become free from this material bondage and go back to the spiritual sky. That's why human form of life is so special. In the Vedas, very systematically, this point has been also established, why human form of life is so special. Because the human being have the ability to transcend the material propensities. What are the material tendencies, or what are the natural tendencies of the body? The body wants to enjoy through sense gratification. What is sense gratification? Sense gratification is eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Our sense gratification is limited only to these four activities. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. But the Vedas are pointing out, these are the animal propensities. These are animalistic propensities. Animals can do that, and animals, when one is involved in these activities, then his life is no better than an animal's. Therefore, the Vedas are pointing out, now you transcend this animal platform. Labdha sudura labhamita. Now that you have got this wonderful opportunity, transcend these animal propensities. How to do that? Now you, tamaso ma jyotirgamayo. From this world of ignorance, or from this world of darkness, enter into the region of light. What kind of light? Light of knowledge. The real light is the light of knowledge. And real darkness is ignorance. Darkness of ignorance. Now, enter into the region of light, giving up the light of, giving up the region of ignorance. Mrittur ma amritam gamayo. From the world of death, enter into the world of immortality. So that is the goal of human form of life. Athato brahma jigyasa. Now you start your spiritual inquiry. Because only in the human form of life you can do that. In other forms, these opportunities will not be there. And here what we are finding, that even the residents of heavenly planet aspire for this opportunity, to get the human form of life in the earth planet. A hellish planet, we can say, what is the hellish condition of life? The suffering condition is hellish condition. And heavenly planets are the places for enjoyment. And Srila Jiva Goswami is gave a purport to this, which has been presented in the 11th canto, our presentation, which has been translated by Srila Prabhupada's, the Sama Prabhupada's, very, very qualified disciples.
They're saying, Srila Jiva Goswami points out that in material heaven, one becomes absorbed in extraordinary sense gratification. And in the hell, one is absorbed in suffering. In both cases, there is little impetus to acquire transcendental knowledge or pure love of Godhead. Excessive suffering or excessive enjoyment are thus impediments to spiritual advancement. Excessive enjoyment and excessive suffering both are detrimental to spiritual advancement. And now, this knowledge, this transcendental knowledge or the knowledge of Vedas, were actually confined only to the Indian subcontinent in the past, previously. But Srila Prabhupada brought this knowledge out of India and distributed it all over the world. And that's why we are getting an opportunity here to perfect our human form of life. We got the human form of life. It's a wonderful opportunity. How many of you think that now that you got a human form of life, you have achieved an amazing opportunity? Please raise your hand. So, practically all of you have raised your hand. Thank you very much. Now, the question is, we got this opportunity. Now, how to take advantage of this opportunity? So, this also has been pointed out in the text 17. Of the same chapter. What I just read is the text 12 and text 17 is saying, Nrideham adyam shulabham sudurlabham plabam sukalpam guru karna dharam mayanukulena nabhushatartaritam puman bhavabdhim natarit sahat Puman bhavabdhim na sarna taretsa atma. Translation goes like, the human body which can award all benefit in life is automatically obtained by the laws of nature. Although it is a very rare achievement, this human body can be compared to a perfectly constructed boat, having the spiritual master as the captain of the instructions of the personality of Godhead. I'm sorry. The spiritual master as the captain and the instructions of the personality of Godhead as favorable winds, impelling it on its course. Considering all these advantages, a human being who does not utilize this human life to cross the ocean of material existence must be considered the killer of his own soul. So we got this wonderful opportunity, the human form of life, in this earth planet. And now, in this verse it has been pointed out, that why it is such a wonderful opportunity? It is like a very well constructed boat to cross an ocean. And that boat is being steered or captained by the bona fide spiritual. And for a boat or a ship to move in the ocean, what it needs favorable wind. And what is that favorable wind that will make the boat move forward? The instructions of the Supreme Personality. So we have a perfect boat, perfect captain, and perfect condition to move forward. Now, if one does not take advantage of this wonderful opportunity, then it has been considered that he is an Atmaha. Atma means the soul and Ha means the killer. He is a killer of the soul. So in this way, Krishna instructed to Uddhava about the goal of life. Or the wonderful opportunity that we have achieved by receiving this human form. So how many of you think that you got a wonderful opportunity? Please raise your hand. And how many of you want to take full advantage of this wonderful opportunity? How many of you think that you have got the perfect condition for that? You got the human form of life in this beautiful country of South Africa. You have got the instructions of Srila Prabhupada and by his followers who are guiding you in your spiritual life as the perfect captain. Like there is a painting also in the 11th canto depicting this point. It has been pointed out that there's an ocean infested with all kinds of terrible aquatics. Sharks, piranhas. And there's a boat. The boat is, on the flag of the boat, it says ISKCON. And on the sail, the wind of Hare Krishna. And who is steering the boat? Srila Prabhupada. So, that is the best way to perfect this wonderful opportunity that we got. So stay in this boat of ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada is steering this boat most perfectly. Like when you get into an aeroplane to go to some place, what do you do? All you have to do is buy the ticket and get into the plane with your passport and necessary visas. And then what do? You just sit tight at the plane, right? Why are you so confident? Because you know that the pilot is an expert person who can fly the aircraft. And the aircraft is also very safe and secure. So that's the kind of confidence we have to have. Just stay in ISKCON. How many of you have joined ISKCON? Please raise your hand. Why so many hands didn't go up? How many of you think that you belong to ISKCON? Please raise your hands. How many of you who did not join ISKCON want to join ISKCON? Please raise your hands. So, take advantage of this wonderful opportunity. What does it take to join ISKCON? First of all, you have to be a human being. That is the first criterion. You have to be a human being. And then you have to come across the devotees or Prabhupada's books. And then you get to see the facilities that you may get for your spiritual advancement in this move, in this institution. And then as you become acquainted with this institution, what do you find? This is an international society with so many devotees. And what do they do? What is the basic prerequisite for becoming a member of ISKCON? You have to become a vegetarian. Not only a vegetarian, you have to become a prasadatarian. Then you have to give up all kinds of intoxicants, including tea and coffee.
He have to give up all kinds of immoral relationships, illicit sex. And he have to give up gambling. So to join ISKCON, these are the four regulative principles that one has to follow. And then chant the holy name of the Lord. When I was young, I was taught, or told at least, that a gentleman doesn't do these four things. I won't say four things, I'll say three things, because I come from Bengal, where vegetarianism is not very prevalent. I mean, Bengal is a mostly non-vegetarian. But at least I've been taught, one shouldn't drink, one shouldn't have any improper, immoral relationship with other women, and one should not gamble. One who does that, they're bad people. So to be a gentleman, you have to follow the four regulations. Why? Because dharma stands on these four pillars. The four pillars of dharma are austerity, mercy, cleanliness, and truthfulness. So these are the four pillars of dharma on which dharma is standing. And when these pillars break, the legs of adharma grow. As the austerity, the pillar of austerity breaks, meat eating begins. As the pillar of mercy breaks, intoxication begins. As the pillar of cleanliness breaks, illicit sex begins. And when the pillar of truthfulness breaks, gambling or cheating life begins. So, in order to pursue spiritual life, one has to follow these four regulations. And then chanting Hare Krishna, why is it so important? Because this is the way for making spiritual advancement in this age. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Iva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva Nasteva Nasteva. So, this is how wonderfully Srila Prabhupada organized this institution of ISKCON and provided these wonderful facilities for all of us worldwide to get an opportunity to perfect our human form. And Srila Prabhupada spread this movement all over the world, and where is the center of this Krishna consciousness movement? What is the center of this movement? Sridham Mayapur. Why Mayapur? Why not Vrindavan? How many of you know why Mayapur? No, why not Vrindavan? Because Mayapur is the place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. In the age of Kali, Krishna came as very good. In the age of Kali, Krishna came as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Dwapar Yuga, Krishna came as Krishna. And his dham is Vrindavan. But in the Kali Yuga, he came as Sri Chaitanya. And Mayapur is his place of his eternal residence. Krishna comes from the spiritual sky. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came from the spiritual sky. In spiritual sky also, the topmost region of the spiritual sky is Gokul, Golok. And Golok has two chambers, Vrindavan and Maya. When Krishna comes, he brings his dham, Vrindavan. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, he brings Maya. It's an extension of the spiritual world. And as Sarupa Damodar Prabhu just mentioned, Prabhupada, His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj told Srila Prabhupada about the two most important things that the devotees of ISKCON have. One is distributing Srila Prabhupada's books all over the world, and the other one is to build a wonderful temple in Sri Lanka. Srila Prabhupada wanted an amazing temple to be built there so that the whole world will be awestruck. And this endeavor had been going on for quite some time. This endeavor was going on practically since Prabhupada's Samadhi was built. How many of you have gone to Mayapur? Very good. And you have seen Srila Prabhupada's Samadhi, naturally. What do you think of Prabhupada's Samadhi? Isn't it amazing? Such a wonderful temple Prabhupada's devotees have offered to him. Now, since then, after Prabhupada's Samadhi was built, the devotees had been planning or wanting to build a temple in Mayapur. But for various reasons, it didn't happen. Anyway, I don't want to go into the details. But recently, Ambarish Prabhu, the great-grandson of Henry Ford, who is a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, who is one of our godbrothers. Ambarish Prabhu took it upon himself to build the temple. And this temple will cost about $60 million. Or it may even go up, because the price is escalating. Materials are costing more and more. As you know, steel, cement, marble, everything is, with the passing of time, is becoming more and more expensive. So what we planned about 4 years back, the cost would be, already the cost has escalated to quite an extent. Now Ambarish Prabhu himself gave $25 million. And the concrete part of the thing has come up. The temple is going to be 350 feet high. To give you an idea, this temple is what? Sharab Damodar? Probably this is about 50 feet high at the most. 100? Okay. Are you sure? No, I have, maybe with the pillar, with the dome. Oh, with the dome, yeah. Because I was thinking of the structure. Okay, so this temple is 100 feet. So you can consider that temple is going to be 3.5 times higher than this temple. In simple words, that temple is going to be something like 35-story building. 35-story building. And there will be three domes. The central dome is massive. In order to make the dome, you have to have the support to cast the concrete. And this support is being made with stainless steel. Generally, when they cast, it with wood, they make that scaffolding. But this is going to be made of this. Now, the concrete part has been completed, the structure wise, and now we are working on the dome. The stainless steel dome is coming up, and
that will be casted with steel, with cement.
The building is going to be huge.
I mean, to give you an idea, that proper samadhi looks really small compared to that. Looks really small. It's going to be, and so recently, one of our devotees who is quite involved in the construction, an Indian devotee who lives in America, very, very, very nice devotee. He also joined in Mayapur. His name is Radhaji Mandas, a disciple of His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He, in one of the meetings, he came up with an idea that why don't we give everybody an opportunity to take part in the construction of this amazing temple. And we thought that that's a very, very wonderful idea. Like, so that everybody can identify that, well, I have done something for this construction. It doesn't matter how big or how small it is. And previously we were kind of going to different people, asking them to come forward, help it, help construction by giving the support and things. From South Africa also we got considerable amount of support. Like Jamunacharya donated 1 million rands. But how many people can donate 1 million rands? Only very few. But why shouldn't we allow everybody to take part in the construction of the temple? How? So we came up with an idea that everybody will get an opportunity to donate at least 1 square foot area. The temple has about 350,000 square foot area. We'll have. And the cost of construction cost of 1 foot is only $150. $150 means about 1,350 rands. So and this has been so well received all over the world. To give you an idea, some of our devotees went to China. You know that China is not a very opulent place. Like Chinese people generally are not very rich. But there, the devotees are making a presentation. So there was a little, and then ultimately when they asked who would come forward and donate for 1 square foot area, one little girl, about 6-7 years old, she raised her hand. So he asked, where do you get the money? He said, I don't have the money, but next month is my birthday and I'll tell my father to give this. And the devotee was telling me, he was in tears, he felt so emotional that he started to become very emotional. He started to shed tears, seeing such enthusiasm to help Srila Prabhupada's wonderful temple construction. Wonderful. So, since I had the opportunity to be here with you all, I thought I'll also ask you to, if you want, please try to help according to your ability, according to your ability. And you can tell your children and grandchildren, you know this temple? I made my contribution. Or your grandchildren can tell that, you know, my grandfather
or my grandmother helped build this temple. So this way we are trying to give everybody an opportunity to help build this temple. Ambarish Prabhu, of course, has been an amazing support. And Ambarish Prabhu actually told me one day, you see, he is the great-grandson of Ford, Henry Ford. And his name originally was Alfred Ford. And Prabhupada gave him the name Ambarish. And probably you know, due to the financial meltdown, Ford Motor Company was in a bad shape, very bad shape, in the 2007-2008. It went on even to 2009. And ever since he got involved in constructing this temple, the Ford Motor Company share started to go up. So he was seeing that, he was telling me that it was a clear indication of Krishna's mercy, because he wanted to help construct, build the temple, Krishna is making the arrangement. So those of you who want to take part, let me see, how many of you want to be a part of this construction of this wonderful temple? Thank you very much. So, Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu had a suggestion. Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu, we'll send out a form. Oh, Shyamalal Prabhu, you want to say something? Oh, I see, okay. I know. Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu suggested that he'll send out a form so that you can, those who want to take part, can write your name. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Does anybody have any question? Sarup, do you want to say something?
I'll just maybe organize this collection then.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll just say something.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Take the mic.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for the wonderful presentations, and especially the opportunity to offer this wonderful service for the desire of Prabhupada.